And if you're wondering about Melbourne as a base for planet hunting, and by the way, they use giant telescopes all over the world, what about Perth as a base for listening to Antarctic ice? That's what Kim Clacker and Dr. Alexander Gavrilov have been doing for some time. Let's join them.
These are sounds that are recorded off southwestern Australia, and they're sounds that are coming from Antarctica. And we have sounds of icebergs, and we have sounds of ice actually carving or breaking off the Antarctic ice shelf.
But we're sitting in Perth. How do you get them all this distance away?
There is, in particular, one listening station, underwater listening station, off southwestern Australia. It was originally put in there for the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty Organisation based in Vienna. And its primary use is obviously to listen to underwater noises that shouldn't be made, but it's got this additional facility that we can actually listen for very long distances.
How long have you been doing this?
This would be 7 years coming up.
Yes.
You're the person who's doing the recording, as the interpretation of the recordings.
Yeah, that's true. Interpretation of recordings, yes. We can hear whales, earthquakes, icebergs, breaking of ice, or everything, and up to distances of thousands of kilometers.
Kim, you've got the controls. Could you play us a first sample?
Okay, this one is the sound of an iceberg itself rather than ice cracking as such.
Sounds like a bad day on the M4 motorway. I mean, how can you tell that that's an iceberg?
First of all, we can locate having two stations in the Indian Ocean.
You know where it's coming from. Yes.
Yeah, more we could identify that particular iceberg. It's iceberg B15D, I guess. And we could locate it from space using photographs.
So you can hear it and see it at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Having heard the sound, how do you interpret what it's doing?
The iceberg was moving and scraping this ice shelf. And it's actually some sort of vibration, so big plate. And after collision with another iceberg or with the seafloor or with the ice shelf, it starts vibrating and making sound.
So once you've heard the sound, you can recognize it when it happens again that way?
Yeah. Moreover, the same iceberg will have nearly the same song again, because it's the same size, same geometry, so the same voice. Icebergs have different songs.
Kim, play us another one if you can.
Okay. Now, this one is actually an ice cracking or an ice breaking event, which is actually
recorded in Antarctica.
That's right. This is actually at Antarctica, not recorded remotely.
At Cape Leeuwin Station, yes.
So that's what you get when you listen remotely from thousands of kilometres away. And this one should be the one that if you were on Antarctica, this is what you'd hear for the same event.
Sounds as if it's cracking, actually, doesn't
it?
Yes,
cracking, breaking.
But is that in real time or is it speeded up?
It's speeded up. Ten times.
10 times. Yeah. But it still gives you the impression of...
Yeah.
Now, what scientifically can you tell from what you're hearing?
The main purpose is to count the number of events and see any trend. We have already observed evident seasonal variations, and we believe that using this, we can observe any climate-driven in the change. And moreover, since we can locate all events, we also can say which part of the eastern Antarctic coast make more noise and surface from climate change.
And I suppose that having got the warning and had the location, you can then look down and see what the satellite says.
Yes, you can do, although we often get advance warning because the cracking occurs before the large event. So you get an advance warning if you use acoustics compared with if you use satellite. But the two complement one another.
And Sasha was saying, of course, that can tell you whether there's more activity because of presumably global warming or something. Any conclusion so far on that?
Not yet. I believe it's pretty consistent. There's no obvious trend, but that's a very short time span. You're talking about 7 years of data that's been processed.
Any significant trend, probably too short to observe.
Now we're in a position to monitor for however long the listening station keeps going till.
At least 25 years without any substantial expense or installations, we can observe this.
I'm most impressed that in something so noisy as you implied in the oceans with all those things going on, you can discriminate and say, that's coming from over there and that's an iceberg. It's most impressive.
It is. It's quite surprising. It's not easy to do that, of course, but if you put a listening station in the water, you're going to hear sounds from everywhere. But what this has shown is that most of the sound that's heard off southwestern Australia comes from Antarctica. There are other areas where you do get noise, for example, from the region where the earthquake was that created the tsunami. There's noise that we picked up from there. But that's a secondary noise source.
Mid-ocean ridges and seismic zones. And, of course, whales. Largest source of noise, low-frequency noise in the ocean.
Kim, a final question. You're not involved yourself in the whale research, but it's still going on. The last time I was in this building doing an interview on tracking whales, it was about, and this surprised me rather, because Rottnest Island is just down the road from Perth. You had blue whales off Rottnest Island. Are you still following up that work?
Yes, very much so. Pygmy blue whales, they are. We have just last month put in a new listening station there as part of a national research program where we have a series of underwater recorders in the water there. And so that will continue to pick up the whales off the Perth Canyon. And we're also next month putting in a virtually identical station off South Australia and later this year off New South Wales. So there'll be more of these listening stations, so there'll be more data, more information, and more baseline monitoring, so we know what the changes are going to be from.
So soon Nemo won't be able to fart in Australian waters without someone from Curtin University having a listen. Kim Clacker is director of the Centre for Marine Science and Technology, and Dr. Alexander Gavrilov runs the Listening Post at Curtin University in Perth.